Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, March 20th, 2025, 2 John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God to 2 John. That's after 1 John and before 3 John. Just helping you find it. 2 John. In preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven, that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. First of all, before we get started, we have a couple of updates. Rich Blair, who is conducting and playing the Heaven Special that was taught here at Las Ventanas, has an update. The Las Ventanas Heaven Special lesson on Wednesday, March 19th, went well. Those who attended were very enthusiastic about the teaching. In this lesson, Pastor Olson taught from 2 Corinthians chapters 4 and 5. He taught the importance for the believer to maintain the eternal perspective as he lives his life here on this earth. He also reminded us of the primary objective of the spiritual life, which is to know the absolute truth and sound doctrines of the Word of God. Dina Blair was a great help, assisting everyone to look up the passages. To God be the glory, as he continues to bless the ministry at Las Ventanas. Your prayers are greatly appreciated. Rich Blair. And then Jerry Cahoon is also conducting and playing the Heaven Special over at the West Sahara Senior Living Center. Last time he was there, nobody showed up. And then he turned his back. When he turned around, four people were there. And I told him, next time, just turn your back at right at the beginning. You know. Answered prayer. Two ladies showed up, Serene and a new lady, Marion. Serene stated she was unable to come last week, but will be here as long as she is able. I went ahead and started lesson one again. Both ladies said they enjoyed the whole class. I told them both that I'll be back next week. Both stated they would be here Next Wednesday, we'll start Lesson 2 of the Heaven Special. Please continue to pray for those who are positive, that God will make them aware to them that it's available, and they can assemble for the Bible teaching. Thank you, Jerry Cahoon. All right. 2 John. It's a very short letter. It's only 13 verses long. And we're already through verse 5. We're almost halfway through 2 John. And this might be a surprise to you, but when we finish, we'll be in 3 John. And it's almost as short, one verse longer. In verses 4 through 6, virtue love is the result of walking in aletheia, in the absolute truth of the Word of God. That's the paragraph we're in right now, verses 4 through 6. Now, we have exegeted verses 4 and 5, and they sound like this. Verse 4, I was very happy because I have found that some of your children keep on walking in the absolute truth of the Word of God, just as we have received the mandate to do so from the Father, God the Father. Verse 5, and as things now stand, great lady, I make a request of you, not as writing to you a new mandate, but the mandate which we have had from the beginning, namely, that we love one another with that great functional virtue of impersonal love for all. What is that mandate? That we love one another. And that is hina plus the present active subjunctive of the verb agapao. That is John's favorite word. We saw it all the way through 1 John. That's his verb for communicating the great doctrine of virtue love. Agapao. A-G-A-P-A long O. Agapao. And this introduces the doctrine of virtue love. This is the ultimate objective that God has for each one of us today in the church age as we live the spiritual life. This virtue love is made up of three parts. It's made up of personal love for God the Father. That's the great motivational virtue that motivates impersonal love for all mankind. And third, occupation with Jesus Christ. Personal love for the Lord Jesus Christ. You love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Together, this is virtue love, and this is the objective. God's plan for each one of us, our life, the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. So, hina plus the present active subjunctive of agapao plus the accusative plural of the reciprocal pronoun alelon, one another. So, hina plus the subjunctive is correctly translated that, or namely that. Agapao is John's verb for virtue love, to love one another with virtue love, specifically impersonal love for all mankind. The reciprocal pronoun alelon means each other, one another. So this is the mandate, that we love one another with great functional virtue of impersonal love for all. A mandate which we have had from the beginning is the mandate that was taught by the Lord Jesus Christ at his first advent. And he taught this to all the disciples. And John was right there as the Lord Jesus Christ taught this. He presented this in John 13, verses 34 and 35. And in John 13, 34, the Lord Jesus Christ declares that this is a new mandate. in John 13:34. And the word new means marvelous, remarkable. This new, remarkable, marvelous mandate is to love one another with virtue love. Specifically, impersonal love for all, just as I, the Lord Jesus Christ, have loved you with impersonal love for all. So you must love one another with impersonal love for all. That's John 13:34. And then all men will know, Jesus Christ said, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another with impersonal love for all. And that's John 13:35. The Apostle John was right there when Jesus Christ taught this. And he taught this over and over again and again. And the Apostle John nailed it. He got it. And then he communicated it in the Gospel of John. He communicated it in 1 John. He communicates it in 2 John. He communicates it in 3 John. He got exactly what Jesus Christ was teaching. So when John writes 1 John and 2 John, this is no longer a new mandate now, but it still is a marvelous and remarkable mandate. He taught this, he learned this and taught it in 1 John chapter 2. In 1 John 2 verses 7 and 10. 1 John 2 verse 7, beloved, I am not writing a new mandate to you, but an old mandate, which mandate you have possessed and been under from the beginning. Verse 10. The one who keeps on loving his brother, fellow believer, with impersonal love for all, habitually abides in the light. That is, he's living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, and there's no cause for stumbling in him. And then he taught it again in 1 John 4:19-21. 1 John 4:19, we and only we, believers living the spiritual life, have love with impersonal love for all. Because he, God, first loved us with impersonal love for all. If anyone claims, alleges, or contends that I love God, and yet he hates his fellow believer, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his fellow believer with impersonal love, whom he has seen, he absolutely is not able to love God, whom he has not seen. And we have this mandate from him, that the one who loves God, motivational virtue of personal love for God the Father, should also love his fellow believer with the functional virtue of impersonal love for all. So this is what we have here. This mandate, by the way, was also taught by the Apostle Paul, 1 Thessalonians 4:9. And it was also taught by the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 1:22. Now that brings us to verse 6. We've exegeted 4 and 5 of this paragraph. Now 2 John verse 6. And this is love. We have the conjunction chi plus the nominative singular feminine of the demonstrative pronoun houtos, plus the present active indicative of eimi, plus the predicate nominative of agape with a definite article. The conjunction chi is a connective chi, and you translate it and. Houtos is a near demonstrative pronoun. Now, where did I do with that pen? My angel grabbed that pen and put it right up there. Did you see that? Hutas. Looks like that in the Greek. And by the way, that little mark there, that's a mouth. A mouth breathing over the word, and that's the letter H. So there's H-O-U-T-O-S, hutas. And the demonstrative pronoun is correctly translated this, and it's very important. John uses this in a special way with the infinitive, and I'll explain that a little bit later in this verse. Hutas, the word this, and then the to-be verb eimi is. So we have, and this is. And this is, hey, agape. That's the definite article, hey, and then agape, A-G-A-P, long E, hey, agape. And this is, hey, agape. Well, agape is, again, it's from the noun from the verb agapao. It's John's word for communicating this magnificent doctrine of virtue love. So a couple of things. One, hey, agape is virtue love. John has been teaching this over and over and over again in 1 John, now in 2 John, again in 3 John. Hey, agape. It's his word for virtue love. Two, virtue love is made up of three parts, and I gave that to you. Made up of three parts: personal love for God the Father, the great motivational virtue that motivates impersonal love for all mankind, the great functional virtue, and occupation with Jesus Christ. Point three. In 2 John, the apostle is putting the spotlight on the great functional virtue of impersonal love for all mankind. So in 2 John, the apostle Paul is putting the spotlight on that great functional virtue of impersonal love for all mankind. Four. The ultimate objective of the spiritual life is to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. That's the ultimate objective of living the spiritual life. God wants you to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And as you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, you attain spiritual maturity. When you attain spiritual maturity, you fulfill the ultimate objective and have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. So the ultimate objective of why we're here. Why are we here? We are here to please the Lord. We are here to glorify God to the maximum. And that's by fulfilling this mandate that He's given to us. Five, this is only accomplished by the grace and power of God. It's only accomplished by the grace and power of God, living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. This is only accomplished by the grace and power of God, living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Six, the spiritual life is a supernatural way of life. And therefore it demands supernatural power for its execution. That supernatural power is one, the power of God the Holy Spirit. We are given a mandate, Ephesians 5:18, keep on being filled or empowered with the Spirit. The power to live this unique spiritual life is God the Holy Spirit. You can't produce it on your own. This is produced by God through you. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control, and against these things there is no law. That's the fruit of the Spirit. So we are given a mandate. Keep on being plerao'd, empowered, filled with the Spirit. That's the power to live the spiritual life. The spiritual life is a supernatural way of life. It demands supernatural power. First of all, that supernatural power is the filling of the Spirit. What's the fruit of the Spirit? Love. What is that? Virtue love. And then secondly is the Word of God. The Word of God is Hebrews 4 verse 12. The Word of God is alive and powerful. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So there's two power spheres for living this unique spiritual life: the power of God, the Holy Spirit, and the power of the Word of God that you learn and believe and is in your heart. So point six, the spiritual life is a supernatural way of life, and therefore it demands supernatural power for its execution. The power of the Spirit of God, the filling of the Spirit, and the power of the Word of God, the Word of God that you learn and believe and is in your heart. So the question is, are you living the spiritual life? Or are you living out of fellowship with God in Satan's cosmic system? You're living somewhere. You're either living the spiritual life by the power of the Spirit of God, or you are grieving the Spirit and quenching the Spirit by living your life in Satan's cosmic system. That's a question that only you can answer. Where are you living your life? Are you living the spiritual life by the grace and power of God? Or are you grieving the Holy Spirit and living in Satan's cosmic system, out of fellowship with God? 7, there is no virtue love in Satan's cosmic system. There is no virtue love in Satan's cosmic system. So when you get out of fellowship with God and you grieve the Spirit and quench the Spirit, there's no virtue love there. You might be religious, but religion is the devil's ace trump. Christianity is not a religion. It's a personal relationship with the living and true God, Jesus Christ, entered into by faith in Him. And then when you believe in Jesus Christ, He's got this unique spiritual life for you in the church age, which is a supernatural way of life. So there's no virtue love in Satan's cosmic system. Point 8, the spiritual life and the cosmic system are mutually exclusive. The spiritual life and the cosmic system are mutually exclusive. And that means you can't be living the spiritual life and living in the cosmic system at the same time. You're either one place or the other. You're either filled with the Spirit, walking by the Spirit, or you're grieving the Spirit and quenching the Spirit. But you can't be doing both at the same time. So when you're in fellowship with God, filled with the Spirit, living your spiritual life, that's, you are not grieving the Spirit, quenching the Spirit, living by your sin nature in Satan's cosmic system. You can't live the spiritual life and live in the cosmic system at the same time. So he starts out here and says in verse 6, and this is virtue love. And then he adds that we walk after his commandments. And this is really this verb. Well, we've had this many times in our studies. Here, and we have Bible classes 5 times a week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, twice on Sunday, 5 times a week, different book in each class, and we've studied this word to walk many, many times. This is hina plus the present active subjunctive of peripateo, plus the prepositional phrase kata, plus the accusative plural of entele with the definite article, plus the genitive singular of autos. Now, Many times, hina plus the subjunctive. How many times have you heard me say it introduces the purpose clause? 1 million, 2 million, 5 million. Many times, hina plus the subjunctive introduces a purpose clause and is translated in order that or for the purpose that. But there are times when the purpose meaning disappears altogether. And that is what has happened in our verse. Blas de Bruner, that's two different guys, one named Blas and one named de Bruner. Blas de Bruner, in their Greek grammar of the New Testament on page 202, says, hina takes the place of the explanatory infinitive. The explanatory infinitive when it follows the demonstrative pronoun houtos. That's how John uses it. Follows that demonstrative pronoun houtos. In our verse, we have the demonstrative pronoun houtos. And this is virtue love. This is houtos. And this is virtue love. Therefore, hina plus the subjunctive is explanatory, and it should be translated namely that or namely that, not for the purpose of or in order that, but that or namely that. And then we have our friend peripateo. Looks like that in the Greek. That's P-E-R-I-P-A-T-E, long O, peripateo. All right, a couple of things on this verb. First of all, literally it means to walk around. To walk around. Pateo, to walk, peri around. So literally it means to walk around. Two, generally it simply means to go or to walk in a general meaning, to go or to walk. Point three is the key though. Figuratively, the Apostle John uses this verb to describe the spiritual walk, your spiritual walk. And it's describing you living the spiritual life of the church age. So figuratively, it refers to the spiritual walk and living the spiritual life. Four, the preposition kata plus the accusative. And those of you who are faithful in assembling, you again hear this over and over. Kata plus the accusative means according to the norm and standard of something. According to the norm and standard of. Point five, the norm and standard is entole autu. That's the Norman standard. Entole autu. E-N-T-O-L long E-A-U-T-O-U. Entole autu is his commandments. Who is his? God. These are God's commandments. So the Norman standard, keep on walking according to the norms and standards of God's commandments. And God gives his commandments all throughout the scriptures. So keep on walking. Keep on walking the spiritual life according to the norms and standards of God's commandments. Six, these are the mandates that God has given the royal family in the God-breathed scriptures. All throughout the God-breathed scriptures, we have these commands, these mandates. Specifically here, the mandate is to love one another with virtue love. Love one another with impersonal love for all. So these are the mandates that God has given the royal family of God and the God-breathed scriptures. And specifically in our verse, it's putting the spotlight on loving one another with virtue love, impersonal love for all. 7. If anyone keeps on observing, fulfilling, obeying the mandates of God's word, then virtue love has truly been brought to completion in his heart. If anyone keeps on observing, fulfilling, obeying the mandates of God's word, then virtue love has truly been brought to completion in his heart. And John taught us this. John taught us this in 1 John. 1 John 2, verse 5. You all remember that? But if anyone keeps on observing, fulfilling, obeying his word, the mandates of God's word, then the love of God, virtue love, has truly been brought to completion in his heart. So we already taught this in 1 John chapter 2. Point 8. At this point, the believer has the great motivational virtue of personal love for God the Father, which motivates the great functional virtue of impersonal love for all mankind, for one another, and he has the greatest personal love for Jesus Christ, occupation with Christ. The present tense is linear action start. Keep on walking. Keep on living this spiritual life. The active voice, the believer with positive volition and humility, performs the action of the verb. The subjunctive mood, well, functions as an explanatory infinitive. So the corrected translation of verse 6 so far sounds like this. And this is virtue love, specifically impersonal love for all, loving one another with virtue love, namely that we keep on living the spiritual life according to the norms and standards of God's mandates. And then he goes on, this is the commandment. And we now have once again the demonstrative pronoun houtos plus the present active indicative of the to be verb eimi plus the predicate nominative of entele with a definite article. The demonstrative pronoun houtos again is this. To be verb eimi is an entele, hey entele, the mandate. This is the mandate. And then he adds that ye have heard from the beginning. This is the adverb kathos plus the aorist active indicative of akouo plus the prepositional phrase apa plus the genitive singular of arche. The adverb kathos, K-A-T-H, long O-S, kathos. Kathos means just as. In other words, it sets up a comparison. And then we have the verb akouo. This is a great word. A-K-O-U, long O. This is what you're doing right now. Did you know you're akouoing? You came here this evening to akouo. And that's what we have here, akouo. Akouo literally refers to the sense of perception. One, akouo means to hear something from someone. You came here to hear something from Pastor Olson communicating the Word of God. It means to hear something from someone. Two, specifically it is used in our verse for hearing the teaching of the Word of God from God's faithful communicator. Specifically, it is used in our verse for hearing the teaching of the Word of God. You came here this evening to hear the teaching of the Word of God. From, well, there are a lot of pastors, a lot of churches all around, but that doesn't mean that they are faithful communicators of the Word of God. And it doesn't necessarily mean that they are teaching grace and truth. But the faithful communicator of the Word of God communicates grace and truth of the God-breathed Scriptures. So specifically, it is used in our verse for hearing the teaching of the Word of God from God's faithful communicators. Three, these faithful communicators of the Word of God in John's day, John lived in the pre-canon period of the church age. In other words, the New Testament was being written. The Old Testament scriptures were finished, but the New Testament was being written. And so the church age is made up of two periods. The pre-canon period of the church age, when the apostles... there was a gift of apostleship. And the apostles, what was that? What was the purpose of that gift, to have apostleship? To write the New Testament scriptures. That's the pre-canon period of the church age. That goes from Pentecost to about 96 AD, when the last book of the New Testament was finished by, guess who? The Apostle John, when he finished Revelation, and he finished it while he was living on the Isle of Patmos. So from Pentecost, beginning of the church age, until Revelation was completed, Pentecost to 96 AD, we have the pre-canon period of the church age, and there were apostles. And they their authority was to, through the inspiration ministry of God the Holy Spirit, to write the New Testament scriptures. Now, once the new canon was completed, now we have the post-canon period of the church age. And in the post-canon period of the church age, we have pastors. The highest spiritual authority in the post-canon period of the church age is the pastor teacher. Poimen didaskalos, Ephesians 4:11. That's the highest spiritual gift. There are no apostles today. The last apostle was John, and once he finished with Revelation, and after he died physically, there are no more apostles since that time. Now the highest spiritual gift is pastor-teacher. Point four, the specific doctrine that John is referring to is the doctrine of virtue love. The specific doctrine that John is referring to is the doctrine of virtue love, with emphasis on impersonal love for all mankind. The aorist tense is a constative aorist, viewing this consistent and faithful learning and believing the doctrine of virtue love in its entirety. The active voice, John's congregation performed the action of the verb. The indicative mood is declarative, viewing this as reality, as fact. The preposition apa plus the genitive singular of arche is from the beginning. So the corrected translation, this is the mandate, just as you have heard the doctrine of virtue love from the beginning. And then he says, now you should walk in that doctrine. Now you should walk in it. So this is hina plus the present active subjunctive of peripateo once again, plus the prepositional phrase and plus the dative singular of autos. Once again, this tells us that in our verse, hina takes the place of the explanatory infinitive after the demonstrative pronoun hutas. And this is a very favorite way that the Apostle John uses, and it should be correctly translated, namely that or that. And then our word peripateo once again. Once again, the Greek word peripateo is to walk around literally. It's used for this way in Matthew 4:18, but it's used primarily for the spiritual walk of the believer in the church age. It is primarily used of the church age believer living the spiritual life. And that's how it's used here. Primarily used of the church age believer living the spiritual life. And when you're living the spiritual life, you're pleasing the Lord. And we are here to please the Lord. When you are living the spiritual life, you're glorifying the Lord. You're glorifying God. And that's why we're here. And we're not here a very long time. We're here today and we'll be gone tomorrow. I'm here today, I may be gone tomorrow. It goes very fast. But we will be with the Lord forever, for all eternity in heaven. But the short time while we are here, God has a plan for us. A plan, a will, a purpose. It's the greatest plan ever. And that plan he's given to us, this spiritual life. When you live that spiritual life by the power of the Spirit of God, filling of the Spirit, why then you will glorify God and please the Lord to the maximum. But this word is also used to describe the believer who's out of fellowship with God. When the believer is out of fellowship with God, he is also walking, but he's not walking in the spiritual life. He's walking in the carnal, reversionistic life. He's walking by the power of his sin nature. He's walking in Satan's cosmic system. So this word is also used of the believer out of fellowship with God, the carnal, reversionistic believer. And let's take a look at some passages that use it that way. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. First Corinthians 3, the Apostle Paul is the human author of Corinthians. And he says in chapter 3, verse 1, "And I, brethren," these are believers in Corinth, "and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men." Now the word there is pneumatikos. P-N-E-U-M-A-T-I-K-O-S. We get the word pneumos, spirit, and pneumatikos is spiritual. When he says, "I couldn't teach you as spiritual men," in other words, they have no filling of the Spirit. No filling of the Spirit. They're grieving the Spirit. They're quenching the Spirit. They have no spiritual life. They are not spiritual. There's no filling of the Spirit. There's no spiritual life. And then he goes on and says, "But I had to teach you as to sarkinos men." You're not pneumatikos, you're sarkinos. S-A-R-K-I-N-O-S, and that's the word carnal. You're carnal. You're living your life by the power of the sin nature that's inside of you. You're not living your life by the power of the Spirit of God and the Word of God. You're living your life by the power of the sin nature. sin nature, the old sin nature. And it sarkinoth comes from sark. Sarks is the word for the sin nature. Sarkinoth, you're living your life. You're carnal. You're living your life by the sin nature, not by the power of the Spirit of God. So he says, brethren, I could not teach you as to spiritual. You have no spiritual life. You have no filling of the Spirit. But as carnal, sarkinoth. In fact, as to babies in Christ, you're still spiritual babies, nepios. That's not, they've been Christians for a long time, and they're still babies. Oh, they're saved. He called them brethren. They're saved. They have eternal salvation, but they've never grown up. They've never grown up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. They're still spiritual babies. And they, a lot of them have been Christians for a long time. And they're still babies. Verse 2. I gave you milk to drink. That is the most basic teachings of the Word of God. And not solid food. That's advanced teaching and doctrines of the Word of God. For you were not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now, after all these years, you are not yet able. For you are still sarkinoth. You're still living by your sin nature out of fellowship with God. And how does Paul know that? For since there is jealousy and strife among you, this is the result of living by your sin nature. Since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not sarkinoth, living by your sin nature? And are you not walking like mere men, that is, walking as slaves to the sin nature in the cosmic system? Yes, you are. They're walking all right. And there are a lot of believers that are walking just like these Corinthians. They're walking out of fellowship with God. They're walking by the power of their sin nature. They're walking in Satan's cosmic system. They are not walking the spiritual life. They have no spiritual life. They have no filling of the Spirit. And so walking can also be used to describe the carnal reversionistic believer. It's used that way by the Apostle Paul in Philippians 3. Turn over to Philippians 3. Philippians 3. Philippians 3, verse 18. For many walk, these are believers in Jesus Christ, many believers walk, of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even weeping. Now, the Apostle Paul is one of the greatest just manly men ever in the Word of God. That was Paul. But it broke his heart. It broke his heart because he gave the gospel to a lot of these people and they believed in Christ as their Savior. They had eternal salvation. And for a while they were positive, and for a while they had humility, and for a while they were learning what Paul was teaching. They learned the grace and truth of the Word of God. And then somewhere along the line, they reacted. They reacted and peeled off. And that's why Paul is weeping. For many walk, of whom I often told you, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. These are believers. And they're walking. But they're not walking the spiritual walk. There's no filling of the Spirit. There's no spiritual life. They're walking out of fellowship with God. They're walking in Satan's cosmic system. And they've made themselves the enemies of the cross of Christ. Now, this word peripateo is also used for the MO of unbelievers as well. Unbelievers. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Peripateo describes the MO, the life of the unbeliever. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 1. As for you, you were dead, spiritually dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of this kingdom, the kingdom of the air. That is, the ruler of this world is Satan, and of the kingdom of the air, the spirit, this is Satan again, who is now at work in the sons of disobedience. And back there in verse 1, you used to live, that's the word, peripateo. You used to walk as an unbeliever. And then over in Colossians chapter 3, turn over to Colossians 3. Colossians 3. Colossians 3, verses 6 and 7. For it is on account of these things that the wrath of God will come. And in them you also once walked when you were unbelievers, when you were living in them. And that describes the MO of our life when we were unbelievers. So peripateo, it is used sometimes for the believer walking the spiritual walk, living the spiritual life by the filling of the Spirit, by the power of the Spirit of God and the Word of God. It's also used for the carnal reversionistic believer who is walking by his sin nature in Satan's cosmic system, and it's also used for the walking of unbelievers. The present tense is linear action start, that you should keep on walking. The active voice, the positive believer with humility, performs the action of the verb. The subjunctive takes the place of the explanatory infinitive once again. And then the preposition and plus the dative of autos, in it, in virtue, love. All right. We've completed verse 6. This is a humdinger of a verse. Verse 6, corrected translation. And this is virtue, love, agape. And this is virtue, love, specifically impersonal love for all, loving one another with virtue, love. Namely, that we keep on walking, keep on living the spiritual life according to the norms and standards of God's mandates in the Word of God. This is the mandate, just as you have heard the doctrine of virtue love from the beginning, namely that you should keep on walking in it. You should keep on walking in virtue love, specifically impersonal love for all, loving one another with virtue love. All right, that's the paragraph verses 4 through 6. So let's take a look at the spiritual walk of the church age believer. The spiritual walk of the church age believer. We're not going to get very far, but we can get started. Maybe point one. The spiritual walk of the church age believer. One, the spiritual walk is walking in the light. Walking in the light. Ephesians 5, verses 8 through 10, which says, you were once in darkness. That's spiritual death as an unbeliever. But now you are light in the Lord, in union with Christ, as a result of salvation, faith in Christ. Therefore, walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light, spiritual maturity and virtue love, consists in all grace, orientation, and righteousness and truth. Ephesians 5, 8 through 10. So, let's amplify that. One, this is a command for each one of us to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and attain spiritual maturity. Grow up. Not to stay babies, but to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, fulfilling the mandate of 2 Peter 3:18, which is a command. Grow up spiritually in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So this is a command to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, attain spiritual maturity, and have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Two, this command is a reference to experiential sanctification. Experiential sanctification. Three, since we are positionally light in union with Jesus Christ, since we are positionally light in union with Christ, then we should walk experientially in the light as children of light. Since we are positionally light in the Lord, in union with Christ, then we should walk experientially in the light as children of light. Four, just as walking in the darkness is incompatible with walking in light, just as walking in the darkness is incompatible with walking in light, so Christian degeneracy is incompatible with the spiritual life. So Christian degeneracy is incompatible with the spiritual life. Five, walking in darkness is living your life in Satan's cosmic system. It's living your life by the sin nature. But the spiritual walk is walking in the light. Walking in the light is a term used specifically for the believer's execution of God's plan, will, and purpose for the church age. And therefore, walking in the light is synonymous for living the unique spiritual life God has for us in the church age. So point one, the spiritual walk is walking in the light. All right, well, you have to come back next week for point two. With our heads bowed. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge each one of us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. For we pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.